Hey, Brian.
Hey, Alan. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you in Strawberry. I can't believe you're here.
I've never been up here before. I've been in Phoenix once or twice, but it's wonderful to be up here in the mountains, here late at night. Your wonderful house, snug up here on top of the mountain in the dark. Oh, it's just wonderful. Thanks for having me up here.
Oh, yeah, and it was great to go down to Trace to go at Maricopa and see you give a talk to my old colleagues.
Three talks. It was great fun. 2 days, three talks, and you guys made cold weather for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we have to treat our friends from Vermont well. We don't want you to feel like you're in an alien land.
That's right. Well, it's kind of warm. You know, it's about 30, 40. Yeah, it's comfy, you know, but I appreciate that. I didn't bring any snow with me, but you had some snow up here, which is good.
So what do you think? I mean, I live here all the time, and I'm kind of used to this place. How does this compare to Vermont? How would you describe Strawberry?
Well, I gotta say I'm on two minds. I mean, because when I come up here, it's kind of quaint. It's a nice little mountain town, and there's really charming hills and the sun. But when the sun goes down, it feels different. It's like a filter has been drawn over the whole place. The town seems kind of vacant, and the hills seem. I know this is over the top, but they seem almost ominous. They seem both lonely and unsettling at the same time. I don't know how you can live up here.
And I noticed we went on a walk after dinner. You got kind of spooked when those coyotes started up.
I didn't realize they're coyotes at first. I mean, I hear coyotes at my house, but they sounded wrong. They sound almost out of tune, like they were something else, and then they slid back into being coyotes. Yeah, it was a shock. I've been on the road for a while. I'm pretty tired, so it must be fatigue and nerves. Yeah.
Well, you know, those are Arizona coyotes. They're a little bit different.
They're little right wing coyotes. They're here to cut the budget and drive the immigrants out. Right. That's the goal.
Something like that. They do live off the land.
In all kinds of ways. They live off the fat of the land.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to hang out.
Oh, it is. Do you have?
Do you hear?
Yeah.
Is there a noise?
You have animals, though, right?
I mean, yeah.
You've got like. Don't you have like chickens or something outside?
No, no chickens. There's the javelina. You've seen my pictures on Flickr, right?
I have, but that sounds like mice or something scratching.
Yeah, it's kind of coming from all sides.
Well, maybe, do you think you've got something nuzzling around the house outside? Maybe, I don't know, a fox? Maybe one of the coyotes got close?
Maybe. Let's go check it out. Let's go outside, and I'll flip on some music.
All right, that's good. We can listen to that when we come back in.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. Did What the hell happened out there, Brian? You were like shaking like a leaf.
Well, listen. I know you don't think I saw the eyes, but you saw the shadows moving. I mean, I thought they were animals, but they were too tall. I mean, were they people? I couldn't make out.
I think you were just seeing like the shadow of the trees waving around in the moon and starlight.
No, the trees are skinny. These were thicker, kind of humped or rounded. You don't get bear up here, do you?
No, not too many bears, but I don't know what you saw in terms of shadows and strange creatures, but did you see that weird light kind of hovering over the pine trees?
Yeah, it was weird. Did you ever hear stories about the Jersey Devil in New Jersey?
No, what's
that? Pine Barrens?
No.
Yeah, Pine Barrens is the spot in New Jersey which is pretty desolate and underpopulated, and there's an urban legend there about the Jersey Devil, who is this demonic creature that kills people who misbehave. And one of the signs of the Jersey Devil is flickering lights that come over hills or the top of trees. It's just irrelevant.
But you know, there was the real alien abduction that happened in Arizona. Travis right. Walton, got
plucked. Yeah, that's
up.
Right, Walton. Yeah. And hey, how far are we from Area 51, right?
Yeah, it's a couple miles down the road.
But listen, that was a pair of. It looked like a pair of eyes, but it was two glinting little
eyes.
Lights.
Are you sure?
Well, a pair of
what
lights.
What were you drinking
together.
Tonight, Brian?
I've been drinking water, man. I mean, but it maybe it was, I don't know, a couple of bits of rock glinting in the starlight, but there's not enough starlight. I mean, maybe it was, a mouse, or.
With big eyes? That's kind of freaky.
They weren't that
mouse.
Big. They weren't that big, but it was. They looked pretty steady. They didn't look like they were flitting. They looked pretty intent.
Well, you know what that's reminded me of? I had this book as a kid called The Thing at the Foot of the Bed.
It was a storybook for kids, right?
Yeah, and I was just thinking about it when you're coming, because I know you're into scary shit.
It's like scary stories that go bump
in
the night.
Yeah,
like,
and I had that book as a kid, and my sisters used to read it and scare the crap out of me. So I looked it up on Amazon. I thought I'd have it by the time you got here, and it won't get here for another week. But I remember. You remember that opening story, the thing at the foot of the bed? It was like this guy. His name was probably something like Clem or Buford or something that. And he lived alone, and
all by himself in this. I imagine this is a drafty house, right?
Yeah.
And he gets woken up because he thinks he sees something moving around the foot of his bed, right?
Yeah, and it happens like night after night for maybe. 4 or 5 days, and then it goes away for a couple weeks. It's just this pair of eyes at the foot of the bed staring at him, and it wakes him up, and he's just frozen there because all this thing is like staring at him, and the eyes aren't blinking. They're just like solid.
Well, that's pretty disturbing because you think, what could this be? I remember as a kid reading this thinking, what could this be? There's like a snake at the foot of his bed, like a cobra or something.
Yeah, and I mean, just that creepiness of like something staring at you at the foot of the bed. So,
but it doesn't just happen once, right? It keeps happening.
It happens like for a week, maybe 5 days.
And
then he gets a couple weeks of peaceful sleep. Like his work is going down the drain. What friends he has aren't talking to him.
They think he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's seeing monsters.
Yeah, and he starts to believe that he's seeing a monster. So
For real?
Yeah, so he's got to get a plan, so he gets a gun,
This is an American story.
He lives in Arizona, so it's easy to get a gun.
He's got several, right?
Yeah. So he figures, look, I'm tired of this pattern. I got to take care of this thing at the foot of my bed.
Oh, no, I remember how this works out.
And finally, he gets a couple peaceful nights sleep, and then he wakes up, and there they are, those eyes again. And it's just like, he can't take it. He pulls out that .45, pow, 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 pow.
And then?
Well, a couple days later.
You got to pause, right? You have to pause, let the audience savor. What could happen next?
You're right. I'm just so eager because I like this story.
I know. Right? But you paused, right?
Well, his neighbors get kind of worried. They don't see him coming and going to work. And then they start smelling this funky sound from his house. They call the cops.
And the cops come by.
They come by, and they find this guy dead in a bed, his windows wide open, exposed to the night, and he's blown his feet off his ankles, and he's bled to death.
I mean, as a kid, it's just horrible and funny, right?
Yeah.
It's a pratfall, right?
Because what it was, the moonlight was coming in and shining on his big stinking toenails.
It's, next to each other, they didn't blink because they had
eyelids. Scary thing, yeah.
I mean, you think this could be... Oh, it could be anything. Now, if you're a really gory kid, right, you'd think they blew off the flesh of the toes and the feet, and it's still, after he's dead, you can see the moonlight wash across the exposed bones.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the white gleams like some, after the dead, some posthumous staring eyes.
Yeah.
And you can have a lot of fun with that.
That reminds me of the song that you turned me on to, this Bad Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tune it up.
Oh, this is great. It's from early 80s. Listen to this. Everybody, see if we can find it. Things about listening to oral story for kids. I mean, you think about, it's one thing to read when you're a kid, to read something like Goosebumps or Grimm, but it's the oral nature of it. And you think, I mean, now in 2011, we keep forgetting that there was such this tradition of oral storytelling. You get this now in podcasts when you have really beautiful audio scary stories. And then I think for me, that draws on the whole history of classic radio. And you remember the thing on the Forble board that I had you guys listen to?
Yeah.
That was so nice.
Oh, man, and I loved it because it was like a story about a geologist.
It was the Alan Gift song.
Yeah, don't do that drilling stuff.
Or else you'll end up with makeup on your face and eating somebody.
Well, right? And it's pretty amazing that you can instill fear and dread in people with your voice and a story.
Just
and that's it.
The truth. All you need is the right tone.
And the lights turned off.
Yes. And you describe that and everyone sees it. I mean, and you set it up. Didn't that begin with the, isn't it the introduction is, it is later than you think. Or like, turn off your lights. I mean, you have to, you know, chill the audience and frame them out.
Or the one you shared today about the knock?
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. Last man on earth sat alone in a room. There came a knock at the door. And everyone's breath goes in. You know, you wonder. It's like the moment in the Orson Welles War of the Worlds, when the end of part one, when the human race is being routed and defeated, and the last reporter is on top of the Empire State Building or some building in New York, and he's recording, and he's telling you, I can see the Martians coming, the poison smoke is everywhere, everything's dying, and Welles is so bold, he's willing to give it a few seconds of dead air just to scare the pants off you and then bring it back on so you can get the measure of its catastrophe. Well, listen, I mean, in digital audio now, in 2011, what do we do to make stories scary? What works for you? I mean, you're a multimedia guru. What do you like that scares you with audio?
I don't know, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, you know, I do a lot with photos and media. Yeah. I haven't really done a lot with pure audio. In fact, this experiment right now, you know, we're telling stories, and the whole DS-106 phenomena, which is a story in itself of people just free-forming broadcasting when they feel like it.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, I wonder if any of the DS guys are talking about games. I mean, you know, I was thinking, in my book, I was writing about the game Bioshock, which is a terrific, terrific game. And one of the things it does so well that's creepy is it shows you something and plays an audio track, and the two are unrelated. So, you know, you're looking at a hallway, and there's a sound that's describing a cutting sound. There's nothing in front of you that's cutting. So your mind kind of shears off. And one part of you is thinking, there's something in front of me, but it's okay. But there's something behind me, and it's cutting. I mean, do you think the DS-106 guys are interested in games? use as a storytelling mechanism?
I think quite a bit, and we'll wait to see, and I'll watch Twitter right now. I know Jim Groom's listening.
Well, maybe he'll post something about it. But hey, but back to photos. I mean, you're thinking about if photos suggest audio, audio suggests photos. I mean, whenever you look at a photo, you want to speak to it. When you hear a story, images come up in your head. I mean,
that happened this past week, because we started the daily shoot,
right?
And there was a photo posted by my friend Jabiz. You know, I can't pronounce his last name. I know him as Intrepid Teacher. Met him in Shanghai.
Right.
Yeah, and he posted this great. He takes great photos. He's really up close, and he's got this. It was creeped me out. It was a photo of a doll from his daughter, and it had those eyes that were just kind of dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The uncanny valley, the human simulacrum.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was that Twilight Zone.
Little Talking Tina!
With Telly Savalas with hair?
Yeah, being bad, but that little doll.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of Twilight Zone on YouTube, and I like watching that.
Let me, I got a little piece of that. I got a compressed version of
Little Talking Tina.
Yeah, yeah. Let me cue it up.
Sweet!
Let me cue it up.
I'm Little Talking Tina. Oh, yes.
She's alive, Daddy, and her name is Talkie Tina.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I love you very much.
Will you shut that thing off?
My name is Talkie Tina, and I think I could even hate you. My name is Talkie Tina, and you'll be sorry.
Be a good girl, Tina, and eat your supper.
Eat your own supper, Christy.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I'm beginning to hate you.
My name is Eric Strader, and I'm going to get rid of you.
You wouldn't dare.
No?
Oh!
Hello?
My name is Talkie Tina, and I'm going to kill you. I told you you'd be sorry.
Tina.
Well, I'm going to borrow Tina for a while.
Tina,
borrow
Tina. How could I live with you after what you've done? You've become a stranger to me, Eric. A sick, neurotic
You'll
stranger.
Die.
With blind, reasonable hate.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I don't forgive you.
Eric.
My name is Talkie Tina. And you'd better be nice to me.
Yeah. My name is Talking Cog Dog. You better be nice to me.
This is the voice of InfoCult. Welcome back to DS106 Radio. That's a little chill there. Makes you want to go out and get your lone little doll and put her on the shelf and have her look at you. Oh, there's a great Jonathan Carroll song about talking dolls.
That just, I mean, I never had dolls. I never wanted a doll after seeing that episode. I had this whole doll fear thing going on.
Did you ever see the Zuni Fetish episode of Tales of Terror? The one about that little doll that chased... Oh, I should tell it to you. Well, here, look. Okay, let me read a story. I mean, you've had your chance. You've read a little bit of
story. You're the story master, man. Bring it on.
We're both story players. Let me read you a bit of Poe. I mean, this is the master. And just so you know, the Poe House in Baltimore is being defunded. So just, you know, you should give to Baltimore's Poe House and support it. So let me read you a little bit. This is from the classic... hey, Alan, do you want to check the fire? Maybe
there's something rattling around, but I don't really see anything.
Well, maybe there's a hole in the log that's got a little air. Okay. This is Poe's classic tale of revenge. This is an especially cruel story. So here we go. This is the main character, the narrator, some might say the hero, Montresor. I took from their sconces two flambeaux, and giving one to Fortunato, bowed him through several suites of rooms to the archway that led down to the vaults. I passed down a long and winding staircase, requesting him to be cautious as he followed. We came at length to the foot of the descent, and stood together upon the damp ground of the catacombs of the Montresors. The gait of my friend was unsteady, and the bells upon his cap jingled as he strode. The pipe, he said. It is farther on, said I, but observe the white webwork which gleams from these cavern walls. He turned toward me and looked into my eyes with two filmy orbs that distilled the rheum of intoxication. Nitre? He asked at length. Nitre, I replied. How long have you... Alan, did you hear that?
What was that?
That sounded... No, wasn't that scratching? It sounded like someone talking. No, there's nobody out here,
you hear
right?
Voices?
I know, it sounds crazy. I finally got around the bend. You know, I've heard voices.
Tina, no. I'm gonna spook you.
No, it sounds like, are our neighbors outside?
No. I'll go check again.
Yeah, could we?
Anybody out there? Anybody spooking my friend Brian?
Hey, if they're out there, this is going to be great. They're just going to, be happy to hear this. Well, here, tell you what. Let me just confront my fears here. Let me see what we get. Let me see what we can find out.
Brian, did you turn off the lights? What happened to the lights?
I didn't do anything.
What's that noise?
I don't know.
It's like under the house.
It can't be under the house. There's nothing under the house, right? There's no room for it.
Yeah, there's a crawl space under there.
Crawl space. Oh, great. Subject of nightmares. Everyone's nerves. I don't imagine.
What is that? Brian, what the fuck's going on?
Well, this is your house. This is your house. Maybe it's a coyote.
Coyotes? They can't get into my sub-basement.
Well, but maybe if they're little coyotes. Maybe it's a baby coyote and it's cold outside. And it's just kind of nestling under there. Just trying to get warm. Maybe the bumping noise
Brian,
in the back of it.
You're scaring me, man. You bring this occult shit from Vermont to my
house. No, it can't be from Vermont, you know? No, this is strawberry. You know, this is Sparta,
This stuff doesn't go on when you're not here.
Well, I bring it with you. Well, look, let's tell you what. Let's get some flashlights.
Let's get the flashlights.
And let's go under the house. And, I mean, I know it sounds stupid. This is what you do in a horror movie. You go in the basement, But let's just do that. Try and get some stuff together. We'll go outside. You don't have a gun, do you?
No. But here, I'll take this big knife.
Well, you take the knife. I don't need a knife. I'm just going to use my hands.
All right.
Whatever it is, I'm ready. I've dealt with animals. You know, we can do this.
Let's start. Let's go out back first, okay?
Okay, but let me ask you for a favor. This is going to make me sound like a scared little girl, but what?
Don't scream, man.
No, I'm not going to scream. Why don't you just put some music in, right? So we'll come back into the house. It'll be comfortable, right? Here, just put it on.
All right, let me find something to play again.
All right. Yeah, this way it won't be an empty house, right? It'll sound it'll scary.
Okay.
Right? All right, let's get going.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch.
is good for omens all in everywhere. We wish blackboard. It is good.